If you'll open your Bibles this morning, Matthew chapter 15, we're going to look at a specific verse, verse 28, Matthew 15, 28. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Great Faith. Matthew 15, 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Before we look into this passage, let's take a moment and pray. Father, as we look into your word, I pray, Father, that you would give us the spirit of understanding and the spirit of remembrance. I pray, Father, that what we learned this morning might not be something that we forget, that something we might take from here and use in our lives every day. I'd ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Our text this morning is part of the account of the Canaanite woman who came to our Lord as he was traveling through the regions of Tyre and Sidon. But we know the woman, not very much, but it's found in three little terms that are applied to her in our text and also in Mark chapter 7, verse 26. First of all, she was a Canaanite, a Syrophoenician, and she was a Greek. As a Canaanite and a Syrophoenician, that meant where she came from. That was a title of where she lived. She came from the fertile valleys that are on the maritime plains of Palestine, that narrow strip of land between Lebanon and the sea. And the last term that's applied to her is Greek. Now, this has nothing to do with her race or her language. It refers to her religion. The word means heathen. Her culture worshipped Baal and Ishtar. But it appears rumor had reached her that the Jewish Messiah, Jesus, was in the area. So prompted by the Holy Spirit, she found the crowd that was following Jesus, and with a loud voice she began to cry out, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. And she cried that out from the very moment she got involved with the crowd. She cried that out because the Holy Spirit put it on her heart to cry it out. Because there are certain things in this world that even God Himself cannot walk by. And one of those things is a person calling Him by name and begging for mercy. Psalm 33:18 reminds us, Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Add to that perseverance, and the divine nature is captivated. When you read the account of the Canaanite woman, it's easy to see that Jesus admired this woman's faith. We see it when he exclaimed, O woman, great is thy faith. And as we shall see through her actions, that although she was humble, patient, preserving, and a wonderful mother, a caring mother, our Savior never once mentioned any of those attributes. No, it was this woman's incredible faith that caught his attention. All these other things she may have been, but they were the result of this woman's faith, her great faith. A faith that caused even God Himself to exclaim, O woman, great is thy faith. And when you consider that she was a Gentile and came from a culture that was deeply rooted in idolatry, you get a better idea of just how great her faith must have been. As I was looking for material for this message this morning, someone mentioned that there are only two things in Scripture that God ever marveled at. Faith and unbelief. In Luke 7:9, our Lord was amazed at the centurion's faith. I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. And in Mark 6:6, we see that Jesus could do no miracles in his hometown of Nazareth. And we read that he wondered at their unbelief. But this woman whose daughter was possessed by a devil, she had great faith. And even when her faith was tested by the fire of rejection, she came through it as refined gold. Her first test, she had to get past the disciples. And get by them she did. And as she pushed her way through the crowd, the disciples tried to send her away, but she wouldn't have it. They tried to discourage her, but they couldn't do it. They tried to shut her up, and that just wasn't going to happen. Finally, we see that they are so overcome by the power of this woman's faith, they beg Jesus to send her away, for she crieth after us. Getting past the disciples wasn't easy, but she made her way to the front of the crowd. Now the real test would begin. The test would come as she kneeled at the Master's feet. But all she found there was a deaf ear. All she found there were lips that refused to speak. And how her heart must have been filled with horrible agony at that silent rebuke from the Messiah. And how incredibly discouraging it must have been when the great shepherd of Israel finally did speak. And he told her, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Oh, my beloved, what great faith it must have taken not to be totally devastated by those heart-wrenching words. How easy it would have been for her to be overcome with grief and hopelessness. But you see, her faith wouldn't allow it. Instead, wiping away her tears, fighting all the discouragement, pushing back all the dark hopelessness, this simple heathen woman kneels at the Lord's feet and begins to worship Him. This, my beloved, is persevering faith. Faith that can't be stopped. Faith that won't stop until it receives a blessing. This is dynamic faith. Faith that isn't afraid to reach out for the unreachable. This is believing faith. Faith that believes it can grab hold of God Himself. Here we see an example, a great example of great faith in action. This Canaanite woman isn't afraid to ask God for the impossible. She won't give up her cause until the author and finisher of her faith grants her request. And interestingly enough, even the Messiah Himself can't escape this woman's great faith. And I want to tell you this morning that God can't escape from us either. You see, our faith is the anchor that holds us in the harbor of grace. Our faith is the chain that tethers us to the throne room of God. and our faith are the golden shackles that binds us to our Father's hand. And I'm convinced, totally convinced, just like my brother, the Apostle Paul, that nothing can separate us from the love of God and from God Himself. Paul writes, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 38 and 39, do you see? He's used every adjective he can come up with. Nothing can separate us from God. He can't escape from us. You should take the time to look at Romans 8, 38 and 39 and try to get a handle on that. Because if you do, then you'll begin to see the power that faith has over God. I would add to that, every genuine Christian, every absolute believer in Jesus Christ has that same power of faith within them. They just have to learn how to use it. In our text, it's also interesting to see the great ingenuity of this woman in making her request to Jesus. You see, great faith finds a way of making the crooked straight. Great faith has the ability to see light even in the midst of total darkness. And great faith can gather comfort out of any type of discouragement. So when the Lord told the woman, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. When he told her that, instead of being disheartened, the woman uses her great faith to even snare Christ in his own words. In verses 25 to 27, take a look and you'll see what happened. In verse 25, she simply asks for help. Help me, Lord. The Lord's response to her request is, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And in verse 27, we see the ingenuity of her faith. She replies to Jesus, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. In effect, what she's saying is, I'm not asking you to cast the bread to me. I know I'm a dog. But only let me have the crumbs that fall by accident from the children's table. If you will heal my daughter, there will be plenty of power for the children of Israel, and you can heal them too. And if you do this for me, as great as this is, it is only a crumb to you, whose table is so lavishly provided for by your omnipotence of grace. It's just a crumb to you. So that even this great thing I ask of you will be nothing more than a chance crumb that falls from the children's table. Of course, at once Jesus saw the great force of this woman's argument, and he saw the faith it took for her to present it to him. That's why he cried out in holy astonishment, O woman, great is thy faith! I think what amazed the Lord the most about this woman was her unwavering belief that he could heal her daughter. Even when the door is shut in her face with the words, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, she keeps on knocking. Even when Christ calls her a dog, she presses even closer to him. And I believe that if all the devils in hell were gathered together against this woman, I believe she would have defeated them all that day with her unyielding faith. You see, this, my beloved, is the type of faith that every single believer should have. We can already hear somebody thinking or saying to themselves, well, you know, we don't all have the same kind of faith. That's true. But I would remind you, in Romans 12:3, God says, God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And a measure of faith is far larger than a mustard seed. And Jesus reminds us in Matthew 17:20 about what you can do with faith the size of a mustard seed. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So you see, every born-again believer is given enough faith so all of us can have a great faith. The real question isn't about how much faith we have, actually. The question is more about how we're using what we already have. Are you exercising it in this world and in the spiritual world? Are you walking in faith every day, or have you put your faith on a shelf to be used in case of emergencies? You see, that's what many Christians do today. They don't exercise their faith. They don't exercise it until the rug gets pulled out from underneath them. When they get the report that there's a serious problem with their health, then they cry out, Lord of mercy, great physician, help me. Or if their livelihood is suddenly at risk, then they fall to their knees and they pray and they worship in tears. Or perhaps when the angel of death comes prowling around, then they take their faith off the shelf and they plead, Son of David, help me, save me. It's sad to say that that's the state of many Christians' faith today. It's a lukewarm faith that leaves them spiritual paupers and puts them in spiritual danger. Paupers, because they miss the blessings that God has for the faithful. And they are in spiritual danger because there isn't one believer amongst us who doesn't have a bullseye painted on our back. There isn't one of us who isn't plagued by some sort of devil. There are devils of this world. They tempt us with the glitter of the world. They tempt us with the lust of the flesh. There are the devils of our past. They live in the baggage we all carry around as we go through this life. And there are devils in our mind. The thoughts and ideas that belong to the old man who's still trying to get us back. But all that being said, do you understand that the gift of faith you received when you were saved has the power to handle any devil in this world or the spiritual world? Do you understand that? Do you get that? Every believer already has enough faith to have a great faith. And if you need proof of that, look at the examples God gives us in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Enoch was translated that he would not see death. By faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, almost 100. Faith. And others, Hebrews tells us, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. This, my beloved, is a taste of the power of faith that God gives every one of His children. Are you listening to that? Do you get that? I'm here to tell you this morning that every born-again believer has at least as much faith as that Canaanite woman had, if for no other reason, because you have access to God, direct access to God, just like she did. Ephesians 2:8 is the proof verse. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You see, the only difference between that Canaanite woman and many believers today is that she understood faith is believing that the impossible is possible. She understood that the only way to walk on water is to step out of the boat. In her heart, she knew she was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, a stranger from the covenants of promise. But her faith looked beyond all that to the Christ, who she believed with all of her heart and all of her soul that He could help her daughter. This, my dear friends, is the only difference between the Canaanite woman and many of us today. The exercising of your faith is the only thing that separates you from her. As a matter of fact, exercising your faith is the only thing that separates you from all the blessings that God has for you. And because this woman exercised her faith so well, speaking in human terms, I think the Lord was not only astonished by her faith, I think He was conquered by it. I say that because He not only yielded to her faith, He yielded to her unconditionally, and He gave her much more than she asked for. You see, she didn't ask to have her daughter healed immediately, did she? She'd barely begun to speak with Him. And as for the details of her request, the woman had only spoken in generalities. But the Lord knew what she wanted, and He gave it to her all at once. It was as if He admired her faith so much, He handed over the keys to His house and said, "Go and help yourself. Whatever treasures of grace I have, they're yours if you want it. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." You see, my beloved, because of her faith, our Lord gave her the keys to heaven's cash box of grace. He gave her the desires of her heart. And we see that miracle in Mark, the account Mark gives of it in chapter 7, verses 29 and 30. Mark writes, "Go thy way," Jesus told her. "The devil is gone out of thy daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter was laid upon the bed. This, my dear friends, is a true account, an accurate account of a working faith, a dynamic faith, and a saving faith. In closing, I'd like to share with you some of the thoughts that Charles Spurgeon had on our text. He writes, "The Syrophoenician woman gained comfort in her misery by thinking great thoughts of Christ. The Master had talked about the children's bread. Now, she argued, since thou art the master of the table of grace, I know that thou art a generous housekeeper, and there is sure to be an abundance of bread on thy table. There will be such an abundance for the children that there will be crumbs to throw on the floor for the dogs, and the children will fare none the worse because the dogs are fed." She thought him one who kept so good a table that all she needed would only be a crumb in comparison. Yet remember, what she wanted was to have the devil cast out of her daughter. It was a very great thing to her. But she had such a high esteem of Christ that she said, "It is nothing for Him it is but a crumb for Christ to give. You see, this is the royal road to comfort. Great thoughts of your sin will drive you to despair, but great thoughts of Christ will pilot you into the haven of peace. And that's where she was, my beloved. If you're listening to this message this morning, and you haven't yet ran up to Calvary and cried out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David," but you feel that you must do that, then see me after the service or call me, and I'll show you in God's Word how He's molding your heart and calling you into His kingdom through Christ Jesus. And for those of you who already sit at the Master's table, my brothers and sisters, I would tell you that we would do well to remember the great faith of the Canaanite woman, because all of us have the potential for the same great faith if but we only dare to believe that the impossible is possible. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as spiritual creatures you would remove from us the word impossible, because we deal with the God of the impossible, one who can do all things. We've seen that your hand has done that in the little life of Hallie. We've seen it in every life in here, actually, Lord. And so, Father, I thank you for the wonderful gift of being able to do the impossible through faith. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to strengthen our faith, that we might have a great faith just like this Canaanite woman. And I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.